Hey, Fodders, welcome to episode 78 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Welcome to our new viewers. I know that we have many, many new viewers from overseas now. Hooray, we are gaining a little bit of international clout. That makes us very, very happy people. And of course, thank you to everybody who has stuck with us thus far. We're almost 3 years old, man.
Yay!
We've been doing this for almost 3 years, still going strong. We're still going to keep doing it for a while as long as you guys are here to listen to us and there are topics for us to chat about, which, of course, this episode brings a whole new slate of topics for us to discuss. But first, let's go ahead and start with our usual cosplay updates, or in this case, lack of cosplay updates.
I think that's very, very accurate. Because Amber and I have been going through a lot of things in our personal lives that cosplay has kind of taken a massive backseat, unfortunately. In my situation, it's been family issues and trying to find a new job, and then my machine decided to be the devil incarnate yesterday, so it's kind of not working right now. Amber?
Mine boils down to house. Still dealing with fleas after 6 weeks, which I do have, you know, the Highlander fleas. They are immortal. They won't die. And I found out in the last week that my water heater broke. So I just rushed home today from a symphony gig 5 hours away in West Texas so that I could fix, you know, the water heater so that we would have hot water. Because hot water is not a luxury. It is an essential. You know, you have to wash dishes and sanitize your clothing and things like that. So we've basically, my roommate and I have been trying to get the house in tip-top shape, which also involves setting up our craft room, because on the way home from my symphony gig, I had the biggest urge to work on cosplay, and I blame the awesome 80s music that was blaring on the radio as I was driving down the highway. No, the windows were not open, wind in my hair, it wasn't that cool. But, you know, all the awesome music just kind of motivated me. It was like, man, I feel like I should be working on something for a con coming up.
80s music tends to do that.
It was. It was between the Christmas music and the 80s music, or at least as good as I could get it, because when you drive through West Texas, the reception on the radio isn't that great. And there's a very limited set of stations that you can get it in decent enough stereo that you can actually understand what's being sung.
Yep.
So there was that. You know, the concert went well. We played the music from Frozen again. And of course, they asked anybody in the audience who knew the music to sing along.
So basically everybody?
I did not see very many mouths moving, you know, for as little as I could turn my head while I wasn't looking at the music to see. All the musicians were singing in the symphony.
Oh, man.
He was like, anybody who knows it, sing it. It was like, everybody in the symphony has heard the music from Frozen. Of course we all know, you know, Do You Want to Build a Snowman, In Summer, you know, Let It Go, For the First Time in Forever. We were all sitting there as we were playing. We were singing it. I have never felt
my head
so old as I did at that point, because it was like, how am I singing this? But the little kids aren't.
That seems kind of backwards, considering how popular it is. And, I mean, even the Frozen toys, a year later, are still a popular Christmas item. So it's like, okay. And apparently they're already making a sequel. Ugh.
Oh, they've already released, they will be releasing the short, the
right.
Elsa and Anna short, right before Cinderella. It's already been announced.
Mm-hmm. I am never going to see this movie, ever, I swear.
I will probably not see it unless it is, you know, broadcast on television. I will say at one point I was actually tempted to make the Elsa coronation gown.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, I've seen so many people do it so well that I'm just like, I'm cool with letting them do it because they already did it so well. I don't need to do it. I'm not that into it that I would feel the need that I have to make it.
No, exactly.
They already did a great job. I'm content just looking at the pictures. I really am.
And there are a lot of pretty pictures.
Yes. So as far as cosplay goes, within the next, hopefully, week, we're going to be setting up the craft room in my house. And there will be pictures probably of Amber's craft room up on the website so that you can see the glory that is my house.
But work in progress. Work in progress.
But I do have one costume that I want to get done in time for AllCon, which is Cosmos from Final Fantasy Dissidia. That's the one that I want to wear to the cosplay contest that we're going to be talking about here in a moment. I want to wear that costume. There. You know, I'm also going to finish my Ranger, the Elven Ranger costume I've been working on, but I want to bring Cosmos. So that is my goal. I think it's an achievable goal. Just one new costume for AllCon. That's three months and a few days.
Yeah, about 3.5 months.
I should be able to do that.
I would be okay with that.
I saw a picture of a Hopi.
Yeah.
Hopi-chan as Cosmos, and it was like, oh, dude. Oh, that is gorgeous. Oh.
Yeah, very few people have cosplayed as Cosmos, and she's one of the few that, if you Google, she's the first one that pops up.
She's one of the first. She isn't the first anymore. She is one of the first, and it's just so drop-dead gorgeous. Oh,
it is, and she almost never wears it.
I wish that mine would look a fraction that good when I'm done with it.
Just gotta believe.
Speaking of AllCon...
Guess what's happening, kids?
We're taking over AllCon.
Woohoo! We're ruling the world, one little convention at a time.
We're not actually taking the entire convention over. We are we're just taking over the cosplay contest on Friday night, which we are graciously accepting the baton from MEK, who used to run it. They were unable to run it this year. So we were asked by AllCon if we would be willing to run the contest for them. And so we're going to take it in a slightly different direction.
Mm-hmm.
It will be a little bit more broadly based than just anime. And I believe the rules have already been finalized for the contest. And signups, if not open already, should be open very, very shortly. Check AllCon's website for the details, as they've actually already got things up on our page. It's fantastic.
They're on top of it. It's scary. I'm so used to them taking like weeks or months before they respond. These guys have been in touch with us whenever we need anything. We have any questions, they usually respond within a day. It's like, holy crap, this is awesome.
And there will be awesome prizes for
there
the
will be.
Year.
I'm working on the trophy designs right now. Hee hee.
Yes. All of the details can be found both on AllCon's website, and we will put them up on our website. Once we have, you know, as things are finalized, we will update so that you guys can check that out. We do invite everybody to participate. This is an all-ages event. Anybody can enter, provided, you know, your costume fits into, you know, the categories that we have set out. We are not going to be judges, so you guys don't have to worry about conflict of interest there. We may or may not MC the show. We haven't decided yet if we're going to bring
brand
of crazy to the show.
That could be interesting or it could be bad. I don't know. It could be interestingly bad.
Or badly interesting.
Interesting.
Yes. So we will be finalizing those sorts of things as we get closer to the con. But again, we would invite, you know, those who are attending, please feel free to participate. We would like to expand the contest so that everybody feels welcome, and we would like to grow the audience and the contest participation for the Friday contest. So to that end, we will be doing our utmost to be entertaining and to satisfy the winners, of course, with awesome prizes. And we hope that the audience will have a wonderful time. So, you know, if you guys need more information, their website is, I believe, all-con.org or all-con.net.
Yep, you got it.
In fact, I think they own the .com domain now, too. They own a lot of domains for AllCon. If you just search AllCon Dallas, you'll find it.
It'll be the very first link on Google. You can't miss it.
Yep. And it's at the Crown Plaza in Addison again this year. It's in the same ballroom that it was last year.
It also is occurring on Friday night as per usual. So,
yes. So please make plans to join us on that Friday night with the Cospod managed cosplay contest.
It's going to be fun. It'll be a lot of work, but it'll be fun.
Yeah. So that's also partially why we don't have cosplay updates, is we were kind of holding that under our belts And we've been working on it.
So many fun things.
Yes, we are being very pinky in the brain-ish.
Or this is Mr. Burns like,
excellent.
Exactly.
Yes, there is stippling of the fingers. Yes, and the other thing that I wanted to mention briefly is that as we are coming up on the end of 3 years, you know, we are most grateful for those who have actually stuck with us since episode one. And we know that there's actually quite a few of you guys because we do get emails from you guys that are saying, you know, I started with episode one and now I'm slowly catching up. This is great. So we are very grateful for those of you who are sticking with us for that long. And we hope that we've certainly been entertaining to you guys as a podcast, even though it's just the two of us and we're wacky, crazy people. That said, we do not do this for profit. We do not do this for donations. We do this to entertain you guys. And all costs come out of our own pockets. All of the equipment, all the web hosting costs, all of the time spent, you know, keeping the website up to date. This podcast is run just by the two of us. That's it. There are no other helpers. There are no other people. It's just the two of us. Val does most of the behind-the-camera work as far as editing, production, video. She does a lot of the rendering. And then I do more of the technical background. I run the website. I run the video cam whenever we're at conventions. I basically run the computer side of things. And I run the financial side of things. So we will need to be renewing our domain this year, probably here in about 2 weeks, as well as the website hosting. And those things are unfortunately not cheap. Yes, you know, you can keep jumping hosts every year to get the promotional rate, but that only lasts for a year. And given 3 years of CosPod, we have a lot of material at this point. We have many gigabytes of data.
Doesn't help that our domain is kind of popular right now, too. So.
it is. There is a squatter sitting on CosPod.com, and now they want almost $1,500 for it. No, we are not going to pay it.
No.
But that just kind of goes to show how popular we are getting. That, you know, it used to be $1,200. Now we're up to $1,500 for the .com domain. So we will always be cospod.org, you know, unless they release cospod.com and then I'll end up buying it for a reasonable price. So basically what I'm getting at is if you guys enjoy the show and if you are willing to send a couple of dollars our way to help defray the web hosting costs, we're not asking you to pay for our equipment. We're not asking you to pay for our travel. We're not asking you to pay for us to go to conventions. This is solely for the website. It's going to cost us somewhere between $150 and $160 total to renew the domain, to get the privacy on that domain, and to renew the web hosting for a year. So, that said, you guys can PayPal us. Our address is podcast@cospod.org. Alternatively, if you wish to send funds some other way other than PayPal, you are always welcome to contact us, and we can work with you on other options. Now, we are not a nonprofit. This is not tax deductible, so I want to be upfront with that. We are a not-for-profit. Everything that we take in goes directly to the podcast hosting costs. We don't see a cent of it. So that's what the money is used for. So should you guys wish to donate, please let us know. We will take any amount that you wish to give us. Alan, please. Please. So some of our listeners are really generous people. They want to send us like $200. Like, no. You don't have to send us $200. It's okay. But should you guys wish to contribute a few dollars this holiday season, then go ahead and contact us, or you can simply PayPal it directly to podcast@cospod.org. Alternatively, if you have a few spare dollars that you don't necessarily, you know, wish to send to us, we would ask that in place of that, please, you know, consider donating to a charity, especially things like Extra Life or CMN Children's Miracle Network instead. Because, you know, this is the season of giving. Please consider that there are people who have to do without this holiday season. I mean, we're lucky enough to have electricity and running water. So, you know, please consider. That is my spiel. I feel like I'm doing a KERA pledge drive, except we don't have the awesome tote bags to give out to
I was
people.
about to say, do we need to start making some canvas bags?
Oh gosh, we could stamp it with the CrossPod logo.
Yeah, we put our cheapies all over it. How cute would that be?
Although you guys may see us sporting some pretty spiffy CosPod official gear the next time you see us at a convention.
We need to start rolling on that. I need
Yeah.
to.
I don't know that we will be selling these things. That will have to be considered later in the future, but we will be sporting
Right.
some pretty spiffy swag.
It'll be pretty cool swag, that's for sure. By the way, Jessica says, congrats on AllCon. Thank you, Jessica.
Oh, thank you. Yes, we were. Let's just say that my boss kind of looked at me funny because I got the email while I was at work. And I looked at it and I just kind of I did a chair dance. And
I
my department lead from all the way across the room, he was like, "You okay over there?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm more than okay."
that too.
I
What are
finished
you
my
doing?
chair
Can you
dance.
share?
Well, I told them what it was, but most of my colleagues aren't convention goers, so they don't understand. It's just kind of a thing. It would be like saying, "I won tickets to so and so's concert." Well, if you're not a fan of so and so, it's like, "Oh, okay, that's nice."
Yeah, exactly.
It's that kind of reaction.
Which is fine. For us, it makes us happy when we can do the cheer dance where it looks like we're doing the pee-pee dance.
Oh, it didn't look like the pee-pee dance. I was
Are
just
you
sitting there like
sure?
kind of I was kind of doing this. Well, see, my legs weren't moving. It was all entirely upper body when I was doing the chair dance. I was spinning around in the chair because I have one of those office chairs that you can just rotate around in.
Nice. Very
Yeah.
smooth.
It was. My coworkers know I'm strange. It's very well known around my office that I'm almost entirely nuts. Things like the chair dance, nothing new.
Yeah. As long as they're
That's the
accepting of
long
it,
and
it's
short of it.
okay.
Well, it's more that they're tolerant of it. I don't know that they're accepting of it. They're just tolerant of it. Oh,
Okay,
don't
that's probably more
she's
accurate.
yeah, she's the weird one. Don't go on that half of the room.
Stay on this side, you're
Hi,
fine.
guys. If any of my coworkers are actually listening to this, because I know a couple of them know about it. Hi, guys. Yes, you all know I'm weird.
Yep. We embrace it.
All right. So, we have our topic from our winner of the 550 likes contest. So, again, congrats to Marissa Nakamura. And the topic that we were given is as follows. I'd love your guys' take on how you choose your costumes. I seem to have the opposite problem a lot of people talk about. Even though I see lots of costumes that I like, I mostly like them for other people and not for me. You're doing the chair
Amber's waiting
dance.
on
Well, I don't want to be the one that blams the whole episode and doesn't give you a chance to speak.
No, you're fine, you're fine. And you know it's weird because there's actually a post that got I saw today on one of my Facebook groups about somebody who chooses characters that maybe they necessarily don't know about. They don't know the franchise. They don't know the series. They just picked it because they liked the costume. And they kind of went over this thing about, how it's okay for cosplayers to do that. Maybe it gets them interested in the series. Because everybody picks the costumes differently. I think most people choose based on the character that they like or something with them, with the character resonates
Or
with them and therefore.
something that they know about.
Exactly. Something that they can relate to, something that they want to show off their fandom for. And that's kind of how I approach things. I don't necessarily pick main characters because the main characters of a story usually are not the ones that interest me. I like the side characters and I like the villains because they usually have the best dialogue and the best costumes. That's usually how I start off with is, oh, which series do I like? Which one is my favorite game or my favorite comic book or favorite movie? And then which one's the bad guy? Do I like the bad guy? Okay, do I like the bad guy? Yeah, I like the bad guy, so I picked that one. And then I try to figure out if it's something that I've made before or if it's a new challenge I can bring upon myself. Because something I like to do with every new costume I make is try to do something differently. And I think if you look through my history and my gallery, you can see where I've done something new every single time. It's not the same character 40 times over. Not to say anything bad about like the Sailor Moon cosplayers who only want to do Sailor Moon. That's totally cool. That's just not my style. So that's usually how I personally go about it. It's very rare that I'll pick something where I'm like, ooh, that's pretty, but I don't know what the series is. I like to know the characters so I can actually connect with it. Go.
I'm actually the opposite way. Whereas I may choose a character because I know it well, but I'm also not averse to choosing a character because I like the way it looks, even though I know absolutely nothing about it. In fact, my list for 2015, which they're not all like I have to do them by 2015. They're just costumes that are on my list of things that I want to do. And I think half of them, I don't know anything about the series. I don't even know if it's a video game versus a manga versus a movie. All I know is their name. And I have a pretty picture. And of course, it is a single picture of one angle of them. So I don't even get, you know, the full 360 perspective on them. I get a single shot. But it's like, that is such a gorgeous costume that I think I would like to make that just because I think it would make a very nice costume. And I would like to, you know, use it to improve my skills. So I probably do about 50-50. Half the time I choose it because, like, I became a Ruby fangirl not too long ago. And it was like, oh my god, I love Pyrrha. I have to make Pyrrha costumes. So both of hers are on my list for next year. Early next year for Akon. So it was like, okay, I like her. I have to make her costumes. It does not, you know, it helps that she wears armor.
That helps out immensely.
But, I mean, I went through the anime characters database, which if you don't know what it is, Google it and you can have hours of fun looking at, you know, basically massive lists of pictures of characters. And I just went through looking for ideas. It was like, okay, you know, I'm not as widely versed in my video games and my manga and everything else as many other people are. I'm very ignorant. But I like the way some of them look. And I don't just take cosplay to be an expression of my fandom. That is part of it. I just don't see that as the sum total of it. I think it's also a way of, you know, displaying one's skills in the costuming industry. It's a little of A and a little of B, so I have absolutely no problem with it. I'm not going to go around, I mean, with all due respect, I'm not going to go around quizzing cosplayers about their character to see if they know it, or to see if they know and love the series enough. I'm not going to see, are you fan enough to actually cosplay this? No, I'm not going to do that. And I would not want anyone to do it to me either.
You'd be surprised at how often that does happen, unfortunately.
I know it does, and that's why I said it. I have seen stories of people who feel like, after being quizzed, that they are not fan enough. And I think that's kind of sad for the community in general. Mm-hmm. Because we're all supposed to be celebrating our fandom, not, you know, figuring out who is actually part of the fandom and who isn't. Because that's not up to us.
It's part of that inclusive-exclusive trade-off that we keep going with the geek culture. That's for sure.
Yes. It's one of those things that I don't feel very strongly that you have to be a fan to be able to cosplay it. Because otherwise, the only people that you would have cosplaying certain characters would be super fans. And even then, not every super fan has the talent to be able to make that kind of a costume. So you'd end up having the super fans cosplaying, but they'd have to commission it out to not so super fans. Because then you get into that whole argument of, well, you know, if a super fan didn't make it, then it's not accurate enough. Or, you know, it's not true to the character. You missed this thing. Or, you know, well, it looks like this in episode 56, but it looks like this in episode 78. It's like, no, come on, guys. This is play. This is cosplay. Have fun with it, man. Why so serious? This is not supposed to be that serious of a hobby. I mean, yes, we compete against each other. Yes, we get cash prizes. It's supposed to be fun. It is play.
Play is a very key word in that.
Yes. So, you know, take everything with a handful of salt, people.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe because you cosplayed as this character that you don't know, you become interested in the series that way. I mean, fantastic example of this is with the comic book movies. A number of people didn't know anything about the Avengers until the movie came out, and now they're interested in the comic book series. I mean, why not? It doesn't make them any less of a fan as the next person who's maybe been reading them for the last 40 years.
And it's a great way to socialize because you can hang out with fans of the same series, and it's like, oh hey, you know, I'm new to this series. What do you like about it? And it can be a great way of not only making new friends, but just, you know, getting out in public and being able to talk with people on a normal level. You don't have to nerd out. It's not required. You can just talk to them, introduce yourself, you know, hi, my name is blank. I hear you're a fan of this series. Why don't we chat about it? I'm going to be making next year, potentially, Queen Zelda from Hyrule Warriors. I've never played the game. I haven't played a Link game since the original Link's Awakening on Game Boy. It has been that long since I played a Zelda game.
Super old school.
Old school black and white Game Boy when they first came out.
I still have one of those.
You know, whatever that was, what, 96? It's old. Black and white Game Boy is old.
Hang
So I
on.
haven't played it in a long time. Does that make me any less of a fan? No. Does that mean that I can't cosplay a great Queen Zelda? No. I just look upon it as it's an awesome costume, it would be a great challenge, and it would help me, you know, just socialize with other Legend of Zelda fans, because, you know, I am a fan of the series, I'm just not a hardcore gamer. Mostly because I can't really afford to have a console at the moment.
Okay, just to make you feel old, original release was in 1993. The Game Boy Color version came out in 1998.
Nice.
Yeah, buddy!
I didn't get it the first year it came out. It was a couple years, I think, after it first came out. It was back when they still came with the free cartridge.
Yeah!
Because Link's Awakening was the free cartridge I got with it.
Nice.
I sold it. I shouldn't have sold it.
Well, why'd you sell it?
Because I needed the money for something else. It was called a graphing calculator for school.
Oh God, I remember having to buy one of those things. I hated that so much. And I never really used it.
I had to have a TI-82 for school,
Yep, I
and I
had a
had to pay for it.
TI-83. Yep.
So, you know, I bought it, and then I used it for school. Except that I didn't really use it very much for school. I mostly used it to learn programming while I was sitting in calculus class not paying attention.
Yeah. We were
So
just making funny letters out of the numbers. That's all we did.
I just kind of sat there as like, okay, how do I program Who Wants to Be a Millionaire into the calculator? Okay, here,
There you go, there
let's learn
you go.
some Visual Basic.
That's
And
basically
then
all we did with it.
once I was done with high school, because I already had all my math credit for college, I haven't taken a math class since 2002. I didn't have to take math in college, so I never used the calculator again. It's like, man, I could have used the Game Boy at least after college. I don't use my
I
calculator
know.
for anything. I can't even use my calculator as a Game Boy.
Nope.
It doesn't work.
And Nintendo made systems to last, because I'm telling you, my original Nintendo still works. It still works. My graphing calculator, I have no freaking clue where it is. It's somewhere in
See,
one of
that's
these
another
closets.
great way to socialize at cons. Take your portable gaming device. Go walk
Oh,
around with
man.
Street Pass or something, and it's like, okay, here, let's
Your
meet
DS
people
will
online.
explode. Oh,
Yeah,
my goodness.
it will. But that is another great way of socializing at cons. You know, it doesn't matter what costume you're in. Just have fun with it, man.
That's how it should be. So
That
anyway,
that's the long and short of it.
I think, Marissa, in answer to your question, there is no right or wrong way with how you want to pick your costumes. Honestly, it's your decision at the end of the day. Pick your way. My way just happens to be I like the offbeat characters and I prefer the villains. Amber likes the design. Sometimes she picks the characters she loves. Sometimes she picks the characters because they look really uber pretty. So, I
And I
mean,
usually, you know, I stick with magical girls most of the time.
and armor.
I do tend to go towards armor just because magical girls tend to go towards the armor. So I am very fantasy anime-esque. That goes for my movies too. It's always very fantasy-esque. So, you know, I have my preferences. All armor and glowy things and bows and arrows.
Woo! Stuff glows too.
I mean, even Cosmos kind of has armor, so.
It's not very functional armor, but it is armor.
I still have to figure out how to do that because I have to be able to wear it and bend over in the dress in case, you know, if something falls on the ground, I have to be able to bend over.
Yeah, I'm having that lovely debate with myself with Rosso side armor because it's like, okay, I still want to be able to sit down during the day. So I'm thinking I'm going to be taking my Warble and stretching it out a little bit so it's a little bit thinner, but it'll allow me to move better. So we'll see what happens.
Styrene and Fun Foam.
Styrene won't let me bend, though.
Yes, it will.
Not in the way that you're thinking, sweetie.
Probably not.
When I bend, I bend. I like to be active in my gear. That's
Okay.
how you get the pretty photos.
Okay. Put them on hinges.
God, I would never get it done. I would just throw it out the window at that point. It has to be easy for me. It has to be easy.
It is. You
No, it's
literally
not.
you take a door hinge and you glue it on the back.
That's too complicated for me because I'm going to get it wrong. You give me that face, but it's so true. Unfortunately.
You're gluing something down. How hard is it?
Okay, hang on. Do you want to know how long it took me to make this thing? This was like impossible for my little brain.
See, you do the complicated things and then you look at me funny when I tell you to do the easy things. Here, glue this piece of metal to this piece of plastic.
Because you know what's going to happen? I'm going to do it wrong. That's the
Okay, so you just take it off and redo it. It's like putting a sleeve on backwards. Do you just throw the whole piece out? No.
I always put the sleeve on wrong every time. It doesn't matter what the project is, I always put it on wrong.
See? It can be fixed.
We have the technology.
We have the adhesives.
Oh. By the way, shout out to thistothat.com. Great website.
Yes. Oh, cosplay gods, yes. There are select websites that you should bookmark as a cosplayer, you the audience. This to that is one of them because it is extraordinarily helpful.
Absolutely. Oh my
I mean,
goodness.
there's a couple others. Cosplay tutorials is one. I think it's just cosplaytutorials.com.
Yeah, you
It's
got it.
on our website. That's another one that you should bookmark just because of the massive breadth of it. If you ever wanted to know how to do anything, go there. And there's a few others, but those two are very, very good. So, all right. So,
Anyway.
hopefully that adequately covered it. If not, please let us know and we will be happy to go into more detail. And of course, as always, if any of you guys ever have comments or opinions about anything that we talk about on the show, you guys are always welcome to message us on social media or send us a quick email to podcast@costpod.org. We do answer them. And if you would like, we can actually address it on the show. You know, if you guys ever have topics, let us know. Speaking of topics, the new Star Wars trailer came out in the last week or so.
Not a trailer, it's a teaser. There's a difference.
I'm sorry, teaser.
Thank you.
Preview of the
Sorry.
movie. Except that it wasn't actually a preview of much of anything.
No, it was a teaser.
They were little vignettes, little baby snippets of what are ostensibly scenes from the movie. And the internet lost its stuff
Oh my
over
goodness.
this.
I was
Oh my
probably one of the few
gosh.
people who wasn't like flipping out. I was just sitting there going like, okay, it's a teaser. I was already excited about the movie. The teaser did not help any. So I'll just wait for the real trailer. Thanks, guys. You suck.
I have to say that. It's not cosplay related, but the lightsaber memes that were going around after that were
So many.
freaking hilarious.
They're still all over
Oh.
the place. Like on Tumblr, it's like I can't log in without seeing at least 20 of those on my feed
Okay.
constantly.
So, listeners, spoiler alert, if you have not seen this teaser, put us on pause and listen to this afterward. So we'll give you like maybe another 10 seconds. So if you have not seen this teaser and do not want spoilers, pause the podcast right now or turn the volume down for like the next, you know, 10 minutes while we're talking about this.
It's all about Star Wars, baby.
All right, so you've had your chance. Spoilers ahead. So the Sith that is on the screen, we don't necessarily know his name, but his lightsaber has a crossguard hilt. It looks like what would be a longsword if the Quillians were also made of, you know, force energy.
If you need a better example of this, look at the video game No More Heroes. There is a character who actually wields something very, very similar, same concept. And the entire time I kept thinking, man, if I was in a real lightsaber battle, that thing is so not logical. All of my lightsaber trainers would be PO'd if that was a real thing. Because you can't use that. There's no feasible way of using that thing.
And I did note, because we read other people's blogs, that Meredith Placco, who was formerly Anesthetic, she's a very big Star Wars fan, and she had actually posted on her blog another image from the Star Wars universe where it showed somebody using a double saber, a double-bladed saber. So clearly this has happened before. You know, we've had people who have had abnormal lightsabers. So this isn't new. But it just, the internet went off like a bomb. Oh my gosh. Because people were just like, you can't do this. You know, that you, it would cut somebody's fingers off if they ever tried to get close to you, or some such.
It would jab into your thigh, basically.
Yes.
I could see it as a great defensive saber. It makes sense on a defensive point of view, but usually when you're a Sith, you're aggressive. When you're from an attacking standpoint, that's probably not the best weapon to be wielding.
And they were basically saying, like, you know, Luke wouldn't have gotten his hand cut off if he would have had one of these because it would have blocked Darth Vader's lightsaber. It's like, come on, guys. Come on. But some of the memes that went around that photo-edited the lightsaber, you know, had the Sith Christmas tree on a stick, or the Keyblade saber, or the satellite antenna saber. Some of these were just, everybody just completely lost it over a fictional weapon.
Hang on, I have to screen share now because I found the pinwheel one. Here's the pinwheel version. Ah, ridiculousness. Ridiculousness! Ah, there we go. Now we're screen sharing. Pinwheel of awesome. Okay, now we stop.
Oh my god.
So silly. Oh, there's one that's a menorah. I have not seen the menorah one. Hang on. We have to screen share this one, too. Hold on. Screen share. I think we're gravy. Present to everybody the light-up menorah. Okay, I'm done.
This is not meant as a religious slight to anybody. Before anyone even thinks about taking it that way, this is making fun of the fictional weapon in Star Wars.
Absolutely.
Of what they're considering the ridiculousness of this.
It is very ridiculous.
But the other thing that people lost their stuff over was the fact that there is a black stormtrooper. You wouldn't think this would be a thing, just as diverse as Star Wars has been. I mean, look at all the different types of creatures we've had just in the original trilogy. You don't even have to think about the first three, which don't exist in the minds of many fans. There's just broad diversity of beings in the universe. Why would having a black stormtrooper blow the minds of so many people? It actually spawned a hashtag on Twitter called Black Stormtrooper. And people were making fun of it, like, man, if the black stormtrooper is the first one to die, I'm going to be pissed.
Okay, that is kind of funny.
You know, things like that, to where people are just astonished that we should have a person of color in a costume. It's like, Lando Calrissian, anybody? Hello?
I think from the Star Wars fan perspective, and this is from fan perspective and therefore my perspective too, it's because of the lineage of the stormtroopers. They're technically clone troopers that were made by, this one particular individual, so they all look the same underneath the mask. When you look underneath the mask and it's somebody completely different, you're like, something's not right here. The lore kind of went and took a giant left turn to Topeka. What happened here? So my response has been, well, maybe in this situation, this character was dressing up to pretend to be a stormtrooper a la Luke Skywalker Han Solo episode 4. So I was like, I don't have a problem with that. That's fine. Unless they just, the Empire was like, oh, our cloning facility has busted up, so we had to recruit as many people as possible. That was my only logic.
You know, in genetics, copies are not exact. You know, there are always mutations. So one of the mutations could be skin pigmentation.
Yeah, you never know.
If you look at the original guy who was cloned, which, if I'm not mistaken, was Jango Fett.
You got it, ding. Boba Fett's dad.
And the gentleman who played Jango Fett was not white. I want to say he was Hawaiian.
That's a good question. He's got an interesting skin tone that he could go a couple different ways.
I believe he was of island descent. I don't know if it was like New Zealand or Hawaii, but I believe he was of island descent. So he was, you know, not white.
So, he's from the North Island of New Zealand. He's New Zealand.
Okay, New Zealand. Yay,
Holy
Lord of the Rings.
Crap.
Yep. I knew he was from one of the islands. But, you know, in that vein, people didn't lose their stuff over that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a dude in what would become stormtrooper armor. He wasn't white. Nobody cared. All of a sudden, you see a black guy in armor. It's like, wait, what? It's like, we get the same kind of response in other kinds of cosplay where you have, you know, African-American Sailor Moon. Or if you were to have, say, you know, Native American Gowrie from Slayers. You know, I'm just pulling ethnicities out of a hat. This is not meant to pick on anybody in particular. This is meant to say that even today, we are still having problem with people who are not of our own racial conception playing a character. You know, somebody has to be white because they were drawn that way, or somebody has to be black because they were animated that way. You know, Princess Tiana doesn't always have to be played by an African-American. I have seen African-American Elsas that were beautiful people. Very good costumes. So, I don't know. I guess I can't understand why we're still having this problem in the 21st century, especially with movies like Star Wars that are supposedly set in the future, mm-hmm. where race isn't supposed to matter.
Future, past. Sorry. Future, long time ago. Galaxy far, far away.
I know. But their past is our future.
There we go.
We still don't have flying cars yet, you know.
We're working on it.
I know we are working on it, but we don't have them yet. And clearly we are not past race yet.
No, we're definitely not.
Not when, you know, Stephen Colbert did a segment on it. You know it's bad when you've hit cable late night television when they're making fun of you. And Colbert is a nerd. I love you, Stephen. You're a nerd.
Yeah, we love you very much, Stephen.
But you're a nerd. And he's a Star Wars fan. And even he was making fun of the fact that everybody just lost their stuff. You know, I mean, would everybody have completely lost it had the Stormtrooper been white? Probably not.
No, they wouldn't have cared.
Would they have lost it if it was a woman? Maybe.
Yes, they would have absolutely. There is no doubt about that.
So, you know, then we have to start looking at, you know, what is considered acceptable in our depiction of characters. Because we seem to get into our heads that when a character is depicted one way, visually, whether it's books, whether it's movies, whether it's manga, anime, doesn't matter. If there is a visual depiction of a character, all of a sudden it's like we're locked in.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There is no changing it. The only time where I've ever seen leeway is if there is only a written description of the character. There are no visuals, which means there is some leeway. Which, to an extent, I've seen that with Mara Jade. Because I don't know if there is actual official graphic art of her. I've only seen written descriptions of her.
There's a couple of pieces of art that, well, they were official until Disney took over, so.
Right. So for characters, say, in the expanded universe, where there are no pictures of them even in the books,
mm-hmm.
you can pretty much do what you want as long as you mostly match the description of what they're wearing and the type of clothing that they're wearing. nobody's going to care about your ethnicity. But I don't know, what is it about people that we get stuck where it has to be one way?
I wish I had an answer to that, because I have zero flipping clue. You'd think that we'd be evolved as a society by now, but there's still so many cultural conventions that we keep butting our heads against that it's like, no, you need to be this skin tone, you need to be this gender, you need to be this religion in order to cosplay this character, which makes zero sense to me. And it's interesting that you said Tiana. Of all the things that you had to say Tiana, because this is what happened to me at a convention a couple of years ago. This is before I actually started cosplaying, so this is pre-2008. This is in the old time.
A long time ago.
The long time ago. The before time. I was staying at a place with my friend, and we were just about ready to go back upstairs because we just got out of the dealer room. We wanted to dump our stuff off before we ran off to panels. There was a girl who was wearing a Tiana's ball gown dress. Really, really pretty. She did a great job on it. She was white, which you wouldn't think would be a problem. However, the second she stepped off the elevator, she was immediately hit with a lot of unkind words and racial slurs. A couple of the comments were along the lines of, "You have so many white characters, why'd you have to pick the one black girl?" And she immediately bursted out into tears. She was bawling. People started throwing things at her. It was incredibly unfortunate and horribly wrong on so many levels. And since my friend and I were just going to the elevator, we asked if she needed help, and she just kind of motioned like she did but didn't say anything, so we helped her get back onto the elevator and away from that mess. And that scared me enough to never want to cosplay outside of a white person, ever. Because I know that that's the reaction I'm going to get. And it has nothing to do with changing my skin color or doing pigmentation or anything like that. She was just wearing the dress. That was it. And because she was a white girl trying to dress up as a black girl, immediately she got pegged. And it's like, why is that wrong? She loved the character enough to wear the outfit. Obviously, that's a cool thing. I think that's a cool thing. That says a lot about her. Hey, she doesn't care. She wants to wear the dress. Yeah.
And she's embodying what we're trying to get across, which is that ethnicity shouldn't matter in what you cosplay. You shouldn't feel
ashamed. It should never matter. It
should
never matter.
You shouldn't worry about people throwing things at you because you're not cosplaying the character as depicted. I mean, I've seen cosplay sites or blogs where they post pictures of people of different ethnicities than the original character depiction that they are cosplaying. And the blogs shame them. Like, you shouldn't ever be cosplaying this because your pigmentation isn't right. And while I support freedom of speech, I think people should know better. You know, whatever you want to say in your private life, that's up to you. But what you post in public should have consequences. I mean, not necessarily. I'm not advocating, you know, going out and doing, you know, raids on their blog. I'm not suggesting that we DOS them. No. I'm not suggesting any of that. I'm just suggesting that things like that should be shunned. People just shouldn't do it, and they shouldn't associate with people that do it.
We shouldn't be encouraging those blogs to exist. We shouldn't be, we shouldn't be pampering to that behavior. Instead, we should be taking that behavior, encouraging the cosplayers who have the balls to go out and cosplay as that person. There's one Tumblr feed that I started watching within the last week or so where it's Muslims dressing up as characters and going to conventions. There is some cool stuff that they do with their hijabs. Oh my goodness, I didn't realize how pretty some of those things are. It's super uber cool to watch them put it all together and to fit within their guidelines for their religion. It's like, that's some neat stuff. Can we get more things like that around here and not have people blast you for being the wrong skin tone and the wrong gender?
And they aren't limited to Arabic cosplay. I mean, they're not all cosplaying from Aladdin.
No, they're doing the exact opposite.
Or the Magi. So they're cosplaying from all different things. It's not limited to their culture. Just like we shouldn't be limited to ours, nor should anybody. If you love something enough to cosplay it, you go for it, man. We got your back.
We got your back, Jack.
I mean, if people were only allowed to cosplay the ethnicity that the characters are depicted as, nobody would cosplay Asari. Because nobody has blue or purple skin tones. Nobody could cosplay Homestuck characters nobody naturally has that sort of a gray skin color unless you're dead. So, you know, let's not be limiting this, because then nobody could, you know, color their own skin. And I'm not even touching things like blackface, which has a historical connotation that is very negative in general. But I mean, just in general, for characters that have non-standard skin tones, like Asari.
Exactly.
People should be able to cosplay those without having to worry about it. Likewise, you know, if we want to cosplay African-American characters, if Asians want to cosplay Native American characters, that's fine. That's fine. It really is, guys. The world's not going to explode. It has yet to explode. Has not yet. It is not going to explode over this. If you personally lose your stuff over it, that's your business. But the rest of us are just going to go on with having a fun convention and not care.
Exactly.
It's not that big of a deal.
I have to read Jessica's comment because this is nice. This is almost 2015, yet as a society, most people are still overly judgmental. If it doesn't fit in their realm of what they feel is right or wrong. Yep. So sadly true.
People are always going to do it. It's part of human nature to categorize things for good or bad. That's just the way we are. Normally people do it in private. Not so much in public. I mean, we're not going to be thought police. If you want to sit there and think someone is ugly in your own head, that's your prerogative. But when you sit there and go out in public and call somebody something that should not be said in public, then we have a problem. Because we do have the next generation to think about. We want the next generation to want to cosplay. We don't want to scare them away from it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, you know, speaking of scaring cosplayers away or shying away from cosplayers.
Segue!
I will. We probably want to leave this for a future show or for the after session. But we do know about the article that has gone around about the gentleman.
His name is Pat Broderick. I've had the pleasure of meeting him before.
I was trying to be nice.
No, we can talk about it. It's on news sites. It is officially okay to talk about it as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. So we know about the article of Mr. Broderick basically saying, do not invite me to any convention that, you know, basically makes cosplay important. Because cosplayers, in his words, bring nothing of value to a convention. Obviously, we happen to disagree, as do most cosplayers.
Yeah, quite a number of them do.
And to be very honest, I think most of what needs to have been said has already been said on the web.
In multiple locations and in interesting vocabulary.
Which you can always go around. I mean, just about everybody has commented on it at this point. You know, who has any sort of influence in the community. More or less, it boils down to cosplayers are people just like everybody else. We're not always in costume. So those people that go over and buy your merchandise, they may be cosplayers who just aren't in costume at the moment. So kindly don't lump us in that way. And the other is that while we don't necessarily spend the money in that dealer's room, that doesn't mean we don't go online to your website and patronize you. You know, dealer's dens as a whole tend to charge more than a lot of companies do online, and that's so that they can cover the cost of their dealer's table. We understand that. We're okay with this. We got it. At the same time, when you go to a convention, you're already spending money on transportation, on a hotel room, on food, on sundries, you know, hygienic items. So by the time you've covered most of those things, you're already in the hundreds of dollars. We haven't even gotten to the whole buying things at the hotel yet. So do bear in mind that it's costing us more and more to go to these conventions. We don't have as much disposable income to spend in artist selling and dealers anymore, especially when you're charging more than the going rate online for the same items. So, you know, kindly don't necessarily take it out just on cosplayers for, you know, supposedly stealing your business away. Because, as one poster put it, if you want that business, you have to go work for it. You have to put yourself out in front of the customers, talk with the customers and not look like you're busy. You actually have to display your wares in an appealing way, be knowledgeable about your products when asked, and generally be a very personable type of personality. You can't just go out there and be a stick in the mud and expect people to buy your stuff. So if you're doing it right, generally cosplayers aren't the problem. So, you know, that aside, if you're going to simply single out cosplayers as a group and not go to a convention because of it, you're losing out on income for one, and publicity, because, you know, major names still have to get their names out there. And having a major name at your convention helps drive attendance to your convention. So you're also hurting the conventions by not going. Just saying. But lastly, there's that whole online thing, because now you've just upset a very large clique of people. And our generation tends to do a lot of their stuff online. So not only are they now not going to shop online for those vendors who are, you know, doing this sort of thing and commenting that they're in agreement with this sort of thing, basically you're invoking a boycott. Now cosplayers are going to spread the word and go, look at these people, clearly they don't value our business, we're not going to patronize them in or out of costume, and we're going to convince our friends who are not cosplayers to do the same. Because you've basically just eliminated their value as a group of people. Not a wise business move, sir. Just saying.
Oh, there's a whole big rant going on in my head of stuff.
You know, people are entitled to feel how they want to feel about cosplayers. Not sure. Everybody loves cosplay. We get
that
it.
I understand. If you look at his Facebook post, there are a number of comic book artists who actually side with him, which is, I'm like, a little surprised by. You know, they are entitled to their opinion. From a business standpoint, that was probably not a smart move, given how many more people are attending conventions these days who are cosplayers and who do make up the bulk of your business now for convention sales. It's just like, okay, bad call on the marketing there, buddy. You might want to reconsider how you word that. Bad call.
Plus, a lot more conventions are being more cosplay driven because, as it was said in the article, cosplay is now a multi-million dollar industry. It's not your mother's costuming. This is a booming industry that is basically taking this generation by storm. If you're going to go public with your opinion, we're not saying you're not entitled to have it. You can have it, but you went public with it and you shared it. Now you're going to reap the consequences of an entire generation. And as more and more conventions bring in cosplay as a component, I mean, clearly this guy's not going to be invited to Costume Con. We get it. It's a cosplay con. But Dragon Con has multiple costume contests. New York Comic Con has a giant costume contest. San Diego Comic Con has one of the best publicized costume contests in the nation. When you get these big cons, I mean, even things like PAX. PAX is getting a massive cosplayer contingent now. I mean, you can watch streams, live streams of their panels, and the Q&A people that are standing in line are in costumes.
Hi, I did it.
So if you're going to alienate yourselves from all of these large conventions, well, you've just eliminated a chunk of business, because that's where the bulk of your business is going to be. It's not at small cons. It's at big cons where people have this.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, you just shot the rest of your business in the foot because of what happens online. Not smart. If he posted it privately, none of this probably would have happened, frankly. It wouldn't have spread.
Yeah, it wouldn't have spread as quickly. I think somebody, even just posting it because of friends and whatnot, there's always ways things can get out on the internet. That's just how
there
it is.
There are. It just wouldn't have been as widely spread. I mean, It went viral within, I think, 48 hours.
Easily.
It was all over nearly every major cosplay presence's blog that we watch. I think almost every single person had something to say.
And it's on a few newspapers now. I think it's in the opinion section of the New York Times. I know it's on the Telegraph in the UK. It's on a couple of newspaper sites now.
Yep. It also was covered on bleedingcool.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's all over Reddit.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I would not be surprised.
So, you know, this spread probably faster than it should have, and I think it went very negative very fast.
Fast, yeah, it did.
Yeah, so, needless to say, we have value as human beings. That is the gist of it.
You know, and we are totally going to talk more about it in the after session.
Well, yes, we are cosplayers, but cosplay isn't the entirety of our identity.
Absolutely not. We are equally as fans and people who want to purchase your stuff as everybody else. We just happen to be in costume.
And it's just something that we do as a hobby. I mean, if you work during your day job as a comic illustrator, but in your free time you work on cars, do you really want us to, you know, bash on you for being a Honda repairman? I hate Hondas, therefore I'm not going to associate with you. Your cars are substandard. No, we're not going to do that. It's your hobby. What you do in your hobby is your own business. I was gonna put another word in there, and I thought the better.
Darn business. Darn business.
There you go. Yes.
You're welcome.
I mean, we're not going to get on anybody else for their hobbies. We don't expect you to get on our backs for ours. It is
exactly.
A hobby. Cosplay is a hobby of ours. It's not the only hobby, and it is not who we are as people. Thank you.
Thank you, and good night.
Be here all week.
Oh, man. So many after-session troubles incoming.
With that, we will end episode 78 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. If you guys want to get a hold of us, our address is podcast@cospod.org. You can get a hold of us on any of our social media, although Facebook does tend to work the most quickly, as well as email. We're also on all sorts of things. YouTube has all of our videos, including the ones from Anime North Texas. There is a really good one from Sparkle Pipsy on Electronics 101, since that is going to be popular in the upcoming year.
Absolutely.
I would also like to point you guys, you know, check your local retailers for sales for end of year should you wish to have electronic components, you know, Radio Shack, Spark Fun, Fry's. A lot of them run sales. So if you're looking for components, I think Epic Cosplay also runs an end of year sale. So does Arda. You know, check your websites. And of course, you know, if you're looking for something for your loved ones to give you for Christmas, you can always suggest a gift card to one of these places.
Yay, gift cards! I don't care. Okay, funny, I'm going to add this in here, because there was a story about this on Good Morning America, like maybe Thursday or something, saying how 25% of the population still feels that gift cards are a tacky gift. Why? I don't understand that. It's basically free money to use as however you see fit. Gift
My
cards are awesome.
Is that way.
I don't know why. You're not going to use the item that they're going to buy. Give me the gift card. I'd rather spend it on something that I want.
Plus, it's less you have to return.
Exactly. Continue, Amber.
And actually, I do want to end the show, speaking of gift cards, by saying that we are still soliciting applications for our correspondent positions.
Yes, 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 yes.
We are looking for North and West, I believe.
West Coast.
So North Coast, or not coast, North correspondent, well, it is kind of a coast, North correspondent
coast
and West Coast correspondent for our show, to where you guys can help us cover local events and local news, since we can't get around as much as we would like. And there may or may not be gift cards as a way of us saying thank you for your help. The positions are for 1 year, and then, of course, we will take applicants once again. You'll have to reapply. We are also looking for international correspondents. So if you are interested, please drop us a line at podcast@cospod.org. The requirements are up on our Facebook page, and they're also linked on our homepage, which is cospod.org. So if you're interested, please do let us know. Hopefully we will be getting those positions filled for the new year so that we can start off with a bang.
Yay! I'm excited.
All right. So we will see you guys next episode in episode 79. And just as a bit of a preview, we may have an interview with Pikmin Link coming up for you guys very shortly. That is our
crossed
gift to you guys. So, of course, we hope you guys will listen in. Bye, everybody.
Bye.